Or guys tell me, you know, someone once said to me, you know, I was commenting about what I thought of modern women, and he, and I was saying how my wife was nothing like that, though. He's like, he laughed sort of and joked, said, what, did you marry a saint? And I said, as a matter of fact, I did. And he said, well, how do I get one of those? I said, you can't. You have to, if you want to marry a saint, you have to become a saint. That's why it's like, if your husband isn't pleasing to you, if he's not godly, now you be godly first, though. You do it first. I always look at that myself. If I see something I don't like in the church, I gotta look at myself first. Because otherwise, I fall into condemnation when I start condemning others, and I am guilty. You know, we have to look at ourselves first. You know, very simply, Jesus said, you know, will you look at the guy with the speck in his eye, and you have a beam in your own eye, are you going to say to him, oh, here, let me help you get that speck out of your eye, and you have a beam in your eye? It's a very simple principle of Christianity. Look to yourself first when it comes to judgment, when it comes to sin, and things that are not right, and things that you ought to be doing. People, they ought to be doing this. Well, are you doing that? And if you're doing that, well, what else might there be that you're not doing right? Look to yourselves first, because if you get yourself... Now, it says not... Now, don't just every man mind his own things, but mind the things of others. But that doesn't mean in the sense of being a busybody. It means in the sense of, like, you care for other people. You look after... You know, that's more like in the sense of, like, do they have enough to eat? Do they have enough clothing? Could they use my help? Not the kind of help where it's like, let me come in and run your life. The Word of God is here, and the Spirit of God is given to teach people how they ought to walk. And they can listen to the teaching. They can go to church. They can hear the Word of God. And if that is not working in them, let them come to me and ask. Otherwise, I suppose it seems somewhat... Oh... I don't know what else to say about that. I'll have to give more thought to it. I don't want to establish some sort of law or make a pronouncement on something that I'm not so sure. You know, a lot of these things, you take them as they come. There's no hard and fast rule. But one thing I do is a hard and fast. Examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith. My husband is blah, 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 blah. Or my wife won't listen to me. She's like such a hellcat, you know. Anyway. Well, why doesn't she respect you? Are you walking perfectly? Why do you expect her to? You know, every wife, I believe, even the most powerful woman in the world, would like to have a husband who's even better than she is. Would like to have a man that she could look to as something of strength in her life. She doesn't want some weak guy depending on her for everything. I'm sure there's some people so twisted by sin for which that is not true. So when I say every, I mean in general. Again, I think, oh, I know there's some twisted people out there. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I just want to dominate him. You know. Well, I'm not going to even speak to those cases, because that's just... What's the point? They wouldn't even listen this far. They've already left us, so we can go on without them. You know, he says, a meek and quiet spirit... In the sight of God, it is of great price. It's rare. I know how hard it can be to find a woman of that spirit or a man of that spirit. Meek and quiet strength, you know, in a manly sense. But the women is the focus of this. You know, Peter's focused on it. He'll get to the men. But a lot of things, you know, because we are in Christ, how we gotta be is after Christ, man or woman. Now, you know, it alters slightly in your role, but still, we gotta be after Christ. You know, who being, as it says in Philippians, he being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he humbled himself and became obedient, even to the cross. He took the form of a servant. I mean, that's remarkable. Here's God, the Son of God, with such power and majesty and glory in the Father. And he subjects himself to this earthly existence, to being a man, and humbles himself, not just being any man. Or maybe the Son of God coming into the earth as a king. You know, he could have been born in a palace, you know, and born and raised into power. But no, he was born in a manger and raised into obscurity. When he came from, you know, like they said, Messiah comes from Bethlehem. This man, we don't know where he came from. I remember hearing on the news, years when I used to listen to the news, you know, there'd be some famous rabbi, right? And they'd be like, you know, then he died, and they're like, you know, some had thought he might be the Messiah. Or like, his speculation had been that some other guy, this guy, might be. It's always some famous guy there, as their candidates for Messiah. They're getting desperate, I suppose. Remember that that God is the judge. We are looking to please him. You know, earthly people want to please the earthly. But let those who would be, if you want to live eternally, you have to please him that has the power of eternal life. I mean, not that you can exchange anything that you do to get that favor. But once that favor is bestowed, let it be known to you that that is your calling. You are called to please him. You're going to be made pleasing to him. And if you are not, all that is a manifestation that he never really called you. You heard a call, but it was not the true calling of God. The true calling of God is effectual. It works. That's what gives me great boldness and faith. Because I know, well, I mean, I could just be running my head against a wall and